From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. With all eyes on the Chief Justice and his failing health as the U.S. Supreme Court wrapped up its term this week, Associate Justice Sandra Day O'Connor surprised court watchers by announcing her resignation this morning. O'Connor was the first woman ever named to the High Court back in 1981 during Ronald Reagan's presidency. William Rehnquist at this moment remains Chief Justice even as he battles cancer. President Bush today thanked Justice O'Connor for her service and said he would be deliberate about naming a replacement.
I have directed my staff in cooperation with the Department of Justice to compile information and recommend for my review potential nominees who meet a high standard of legal ability, judgment, and integrity, and who will faithfully interpret the Constitution and laws of our country.
Joined now by Charles Ogletree, Harvard Law professor, and in our Washington studios, NPR political analyst Juan Williams. Juan, let me start with you. While not surprised that Justice O'Connor stepped down, many surprised that, in fact, it happened today.
Without a doubt, Ed, what you have here is the first retirement in 11 years, and it's a somewhat of a surprise, only in the sense that everyone expected Chief Justice Rehnquist to be the one who was announcing his retirement. As you know, Ed, he's been suffering from thyroid cancer. And so this is a little bit of a surprise. We've known that she's had Justice O'Connor breast cancer way back in the 1980s. She's had an appendix removed. And there was thought that she was about to leave because she'd sold her house here in Washington. She'd only hired two or three clerks, indicating that instead of taking the full complement of four, she was really preparing to simply have her papers restored rather than begin the work on a new term. So this was a surprise.
A surprise, and also this, Charles Ogletree, really does potentially swing the balance of this court. Despite being an appointee of Ronald Reagan's, Sandra Day O'Connor proved to be, in many people's minds, a middle-of-the-road justice.
Indeed, Ed. I guess I'm not as surprised as Juan. She's been talking about this for a while, and I think not only will we see her resignation, but I expect within the next day or two, we'll also finally see Chief Justice Rehnquist's resignation. But it is a surprise because she's part of the gang of four. There are seven justices appointed by Republicans. Four of them have been disappointing to some conservatives. Justice O'Connor, Stevens, Souter, and occasionally Justice Kennedy. But she has been the most significant to depart from the party line. She's been responsible for what I call the genderfication of the Supreme Court, dealing with issues of gender. She's been the most skeptical about how to deal with issues of race. But when it came to voting, whether it's the affirmative action case in Michigan or whether it's a woman's right to choose in the 1992 Casey case, she really has surprised, shocked, and disappointed conservatives who thought that she would go along with the same views that she expressed when she joined the court in 1981. A major and significant resignation, in my view, the most significant since Thurgood Marshall resigned in 1991.
So, Juan, if we see O'Connor as a true swing vote of this court, so many Democrats and liberals must be shaking in their boots now with the ability of this president to put forth someone who he has suggested and always targeted as conservative in thought.
Well, without a doubt, Ed, the political machinery was primed and it's now rolling here in Washington. You have more than $18 million set aside by the president's allies to begin a public relations blitz, if you will. Meanwhile, people on the other side, the liberal groups in town, also have money set aside. They've been flooding out press releases already and have put together a war room with many of people who were involved in President Clinton's campaigns, ready now to launch a campaign against whoever this prospective nominee might be.
Charles Ogletree, so many names bantied about even before we heard of Justice O'Connor's official stepping down. Some of those names that have been thrown out, of those, who do you expect to really rise to the top and be real potential candidates?
It's an excellent question. I think things have changed since we're going to be filling a position of an associate justice before Chief Justice. That means that the people who are in play in a real way are Alberto Gonzalez, the Attorney General, Michael Luttig, who is a younger of two potential appointees from the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. He also was an aide to Justice Clarence Thomas when he was nominated in 1991. John Roberts, who's on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, will also be added to that list. And one who will jump high up is Professor Michael McConnell, who was at the University of Utah, University of Chicago. He's now on the 10th Circuit in Utah. Those are the four real candidates, top runners. And I think President Bush will try to find someone. But this is absolutely historic, Ed, because the president will actually be able to appoint a conservative to replace a moderate. I mean, that's a huge sea change, and I think it's going to mean a huge battle. I was scheduled to go on vacation tomorrow. Those plans are on hold because this is going to be the most interesting July we've had in over a decade.
Juan, what about some of the names that you've heard? We also hear about the name of former Solicitor General Ted Olson. We've heard Mr. Estrada and many others. So I'm curious what you've been hearing.
Well, at first, let me just say that the whole Senate process is very interesting at this point. Harriet Myers, who's the White House counsel, has been vetting various people looking at prospective nominees. But the idea, as you heard from President Bush this morning in his brief appearance in the Rose Garden, is to put forward a nominee in the next month or so that you can have the hearings beginning sometime in August. It's likely to take 6 to 8 weeks. That would take you through September and hopefully then have a new Supreme Court justice in place for the time the new term begins in October. The committee chairman is Arlen Specter, the Republican of Pennsylvania, and he says that he doesn't think the initial hearings will begin until sometime in August. By the way, Specter has cancer, and so his whole role in this thing is somewhat up in the air. But to get to your point, Ed, the names that are mostly been floating around town is, number one, Alberto Gonzalez, the attorney general. You know, now he's viewed by conservatives as somewhat unreliable on issues such as abortion and affirmative action. And in some sense, his name was really put out last week in an aggressive manner, almost as a trial balloon. And some of the conservatives began shooting at it. We don't know, but clearly the president has a very special relationship with Alberto Gonzalez, and it would have tremendous political value because it would be the first Hispanic to sit on the court. And as you know, the Republicans are aggressively seeking the Hispanic vote as they try to become a permanent majority in the country. Other names include Emilio Garza, who sits on the Fifth Circuit. He's going to be highly controversial if he were to be the nominee because he's a man who has said, questioned, if you will, the legitimacy of Roe v. Wade and called that decision inimical to the Constitution. And then you get into people who are on the Fourth Circuit, some very conservative. J. Harvey Wilkerson, for example, he's maybe, you know, one of the most conservative judges in the court on the most conservative circuit in the court, the Fourth Circuit. And he's the one who gave the president authority to do anything he liked with enemy combatants at Guantanamo Bay. And then there's the younger member of the Fourth Circuit, J. Michael Ludwig, that you heard about earlier. And there it's going to be sort of a personal conversation. I think that's one of the things that comes up with Supreme Court nominees. They all become personal. Who are these people? And in the case of Ludwig, his dad was killed during a carjacking in Texas. And so that will become a whole argument about whether or not his approach to the law is colored by his personal experience. I think you're going to see the only woman who might replace her, the only woman whose name is in circulation, is Edith Jones, who sits on the Fifth Circuit, and she's a former general counsel for the Texas GOP, so she's going to be seen as highly political and activist, and people will question her judicial style.
Charles Ogletree, we've heard from this president suggest that the people that he liked in terms of fashioning who he saw as role models for his appointment are ultra-conservative, arch-conservative, if you will, and that's Scalia and Thomas. Yet with the idea of Gonzalez's name being raised, though ultra-conservatives bemoan the fact that he was too soft, if you will. Others believe that this would be an appointment that the president could get through fairly easily. Might he land on that side of the fence?
I don't think it'll be an easy appointment, but I think he's a confirmable candidate, but it won't be easy. And it is also
clear, in comparison, though.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
There are some other outstanding Hispanic candidates like Edward Prado, who's from the Fifth Circuit. His name has been floated around to be drafted because he's a moderate that would be viewed by all sides positively. And Sonia Sotomayor, who's on the Second Circuit, Hispanic woman, which would be both replace the absence of O'Connor as a second woman on the court, but also have Hispanic, and I think that would be helpful. But I think that Bush told us in 1999, before the first election, that Scalia and Thomas are his model judges, and I think that he'll look for somebody with a reliable conservative perspective, and it's going to be probably a battle royale for the whole summer in trying to get that happen. And I think they may try to move this. They said August, but I think the president is probably going to get that name floated out in the next couple of weeks instead of taking a month, because I think it shore up support to start the battle and to not run the risk of running into late September in doubt, particularly as I suspect if Chief Justice Rehnquist announces his resignation as well in the coming days.
And Juan, what we need to note here is no matter who is appointed, announced, confirmed, etc., what really is important here are those issues that hang in the balance, like abortion, that clearly could be tipped to the right.
Without a doubt, Ed. I mean, this is serious business. And it's not just abortion, although abortion, because of the power in American society of that issue, is going to be the most discussed. But, you know, affirmative action, you think back to Justice O'Connor, she was the deciding vote on that Michigan case, 5-4.
Many contend that she saved it.
Well, that's exactly right. And so you know the point. And so that's up in the air. Now, there's going to be a lot of hype around this, a tremendous amount. But you have to keep in mind there's precedent. And O'Connor herself was assumed to be, as a Reagan appointee, going to be a highly conservative justice. But she's the one who protected Roe v. Wade. Ultimately, yeah. She's the one who voted to maintain affirmative action in American life. So a lot of things that are going to be said, you have to, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But I think that you have to also understand just how passionate people feel about this and how much the fireworks are going to explode this 4th of July over this O'Connor resignation.
Yeah, literally and figuratively. Charles Ogletree and Juan Williams, thank you so much for your insight. Greatly appreciated.
Always a pleasure.
You're welcome, Ed.